This is the Praying with the Eyes podcast, episode 9, Longing for the Yellow Brick Road. In this episode, I talk with two young men from Colombia about what it means to be a world Christian.
Welcome to the Praying with the Eyes podcast. Your host is Doug Bronner, senior pastor at Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado. As an avid photographer, Doug combines the beauty of God's creation with the beauty of His Word in a daily Praying with the Eyes devotional blog. Today's discussion digs deeper into a topic first introduced in one of these daily blogs. Thanks for tuning in to today's podcast.
Yeah, I am Pastor Doug Bronner, and it's good to be with you again on this episode of the Praying with the Eyes podcast, a very special episode. As many of you know who listen to these podcasts, they are based on a blog that I write, and today's no different. Kind of that different title you heard in the introduction, Longing for the Yellow Brick Road, and one of my fondest memories of growing up was my family gathering at my grandparents' house to watch The Wizard of Oz. It seems to me it was always on CBS, and down in Eugene, in the dark ages of television, we only had ABC and NBC and not CBS, but they had cable. I mean, actually, cable existed back in the dark ages, and all the Portland stations were, that's all there were in those days on cable, were brought down to Eugene. And so on a Sunday night, we'd watch The Wizard of Oz, and of course, I'd always hide when the monkeys came out, the flying monkeys came out. I think my dad told me this, because my dad was a jokester, and I just kind of believed it, that when the scene went from black and white at the beginning to color when they got to Land of Oz was because they finally developed color film when they changed it. But anyway, those of you who know the movie know that there's the Yellow Brick Road in it that Dorothy's to follow to the Emerald City to find the Wizard of Oz and to find her way back to Kansas. I'm going to relate that to the road that Christ is to the Father. And my guests are going to, we're going to talk about that in the context of what it means to be a world Christian and what it means that Christ is the only way of salvation, even for people in different cultures. Again, Praying with the Eyes is a ministry of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, a congregation that I've been serving for as pastor for 16 years, and what a privilege to be a part of this community. If you'd like to find out more about Holy Cross, you can go to our website at www.holycrosscs.org. That's CS, the easy way to remember that is think of Colorado Springs, but holycrosscs.org. You'll find out about a bunch of different things that are going on here at Holy Cross, and would love to have you check us out. There's also a website for the Praying with the Eyes ministry. Some of you already know that because that's how you got to this podcast. But for those of you listening on iTunes or SoundCloud, welcome you to come to our website that very simply is www.prayingwiththeeyes.com. And I would invite you to leave comments about today's episode in the comments on the show notes that are there in the website. Let's keep the conversation going. It's very important as we talk about important issues that it not just be me and my guests sitting down and talking. And we want to engage you. We want you to be giving us feedback as well. So please leave comments there. But if your comments are maybe a little too personal and you're not sure you want to leave them there, you can always email me at questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. That's questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. And as the title suggests, if you've had any questions, please do so. So I'm joined today by, as I mentioned in the introduction, by two young men from Colombia. That's not Columbia, Missouri, or other places in the United States. It's Colombia, period, in South America. Sebastian and Oscar, glad to have you guys with me today.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor.
You
thank
say
you
that now. wait till we get done redoing this recording. But we're going to have a lot of fun and talking. Hopefully you enjoy overhearing our conversation as we talk. So the thought this first time, since you're here, we would just get to know you guys a little bit. Why don't you tell us why you're here in the United States anyway?
Well, we are working with Youth with a Mission. We're serving as volunteers, YWAM, Way 360, here in the city. Mm-hmm. So we came like 3-4 months ago now.
May 12th.
Yeah,
May
12th. You guys 12th. Didn't come straight to Colorado Springs, did
no.
you?
No,
we did. You had your American adventure.
yeah. We arrived in May 12th in Florida. Fort Lauderdale, and a friend actually donated an old Ford van to the ministry. Okay. So someone left it at the airport in Fort. Got out of the plane, went to look around for the van, and drove all the way here.
How long did it take you to find the van?
7 days.
To find the van. Oh, man. I can say 7 days in the,
in the parking lot.
7 days in the airport.
What does a van Ford look like? Luckily, it was purple. It's bright purple.
Oh, yuck. You drive that all the way to here?
I don't have a problem with it at all.
So now we know why they donated it to YWAM.
We were unique in the road.
We got checked out by the police a couple of times.
Yeah.
Sketchy van, they called it.
Did you really?
Yeah, we did. In Kansas City, we stayed at International House of Prayer.
Okay.
And we slept in the parking lot. And this two cops come up. We're almost asleep in the van, and they come up and they're like, "Hey, who's the guys with the sketchy van? What are you guys? We got reports of a sketchy van outside the houses. What are you doing here?" we're missionaries. We're just staying here. Our friend is staying in with one of the girls in the houses, and we're good guys.
So they didn't cuff you and take you in.
No, they let us stay in the parking lot.
Not that far.
That would have been an interesting experience. 7 days then it took you to drive here.
You
did that on purpose because you wanted to see.
Oh, yeah. We wanted to do the road trip through the state. That was the original plan. We wanted to visit friends on the way through Georgia, through Memphis,
Jacksonville,
Orlando, all that. So we just want to visit some friends as well.
Nice. Are these friends that are connected with YWAM or is it elsewhere, or just moved here from Colombia up to the United States? Or
some of them are connected or were connected with YWAM. So we were staying with a pastor friend, and he was with YWAM some years ago. Some other friends that we met through our outreaches before, some family, Oscar's family,
Georgia. Well, very distant relatives in Georgia, in Rome.
Rome, Georgia.
Yeah. So you've been to Rome?
Yeah, I've been to Rome.
What you're going to find out is Oscar that's speaking there. I'm going to have them introduce themselves to you here in a second, a little bit of their background. But Oscar especially is a world traveler and lived in different places and stuff. So when you say Rome, have you been to Rome, actually, Rome, Italy?
When I was little.
So you don't remember?
That counts, even though I don't
remember. Yeah, it does
count. I've got a picture. You get my dad. I'm on his shoulders. I'm about maybe 4 or 5. I'm on his shoulders.
Any vague memories
right in front
of
the Colosseum.
Oh, really? Yeah. Any kind of vague memories about it?
Not at all.
Not at all.
Just the picture.
That's it.
That's crazy. And it's important that you got that picture. But you were there. That counts.
Yeah.
So, you don't have to remember it. So let's find out more about you. Sebastian, let's start with you. Just tell us about yourself and wherever you want to start. What's important for us to know about you?
Okay. Well, I'm Colombian, 100%.
Yeah, well, you'll understand that more in the reason why he says he's 100% Colombian.
100% Colombian. I've been a missionary for 4 years with Youth with a Mission there in Colombia. So I started working with YWAM and serving in YWAM since I was 16 years old. I'm 20 now. I'm studying English teaching also as I work with YWAM. My calling, my vision with missions is to train people, to equip them, to help them to go to the places where God is calling them. So that's a little bit about me.
You also do some translating work, right?
Yes. I do some translation for Compassion sometimes, back in Colombia. That's been for the last year, I would say, yeah.
It seems to me, I've mentioned before, the languages I know are considered dead languages. I know Hebrew and ancient Greek, or Koine Greek, and I don't have to speak them and translate them. When we worked with a translator when we were in Peru with Ricardo Hidalgo there, I was amazed at her ability to get the sense, not just the word-for-word translation, but the sense of what he was saying and translate it to us. That must be a very difficult skill.
Yeah. It takes time to develop. At the beginning for me, it was kind of complicated to switch from languages. Mm-hmm. And then you have the expressions. And, languages is not just words, but it have a cultural meaning, whatever you're saying. So it takes time. But as long as you practice more, then you're getting it. And something I think is very important is to know the culture of the language. So this trip in the States has been really good for that, for me to get to be able to know the American culture And then you start to understand a little bit more of their language, the way they speak, the expressions they use. So it's kind of hard for the mind at the beginning, but then the more you do it, then you get used to.
Well, and it's interesting too, because you guys traveled to the south of America, United States, and that, you think about language there, we always, you know, the dialects, the accents that we have, and the customs there. I grew up in Eugene, Oregon, and the culture, you're talking about culture within a country. I'm assuming that's the same in Colombia too.
Oh, yeah. Like in Colombia, you can, you know, travel in a bus for 5 hours and you run into a place that has a completely different accent, completely different way of typical dressing, different food, you know, different, even different ways of making soup in every city.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, that's normal though. When you think about that, when you say that soup, and everybody has different soups or whatever. That's in different cultures. Okay, Oscar, you have quite a bit of different background than Sebastian.
A bit, not 100% Colombian.
No, but rather like 50%.
Yeah, okay. I guess blood wise. 50% Colombian, 50% British on my mom's side.
Because your last name is? Could you go? You take your mom's last name.
That last name,
which is?
Churchill.
Churchill. So that's that English.
We were
talking before we started this podcast about whether he was related to Winston Churchill. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
You could be.
Could be. I mean, it's going to be hard to know for sure because, as I said, all the records, like the family records and family trees and all that, used to be kept in the churches, you know, like in the basement or in the attic and stuff. And in the Second World War, all that got bombed out of existence. So,
And that's really, you think about, and the relationship for me in some of this is what ISIS is doing in destroying cultural things.
Yeah.
Right.
When you don't get those back and it's gone until Christ returns. You know, it's sad that when war and those things take those things away. But anyway, we're not born in Colombia.
No. I guess culturally, I'm about divided in thirds.
Okay.
So the Chinese is the first third.
Okay. And you lived in China from the time of your birth till
1995. 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, grew up there. My parents were missionaries there. So I was actually born on their mission trip.
Which is why you're part of YWAM, is because they have been part of YWAM for...
Yeah, before they married, they were part of YWAM for a number of years. So I kind of grew up in it.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't until I was about 16 that I actually made my choice to actually start my own kind of walk with God in YWAM as well.
Okay. So you grew up there, and then what's the next third?
Next third is, it's either Colombian or British.
Okay.
So, as on the Colombians on my dad's side.
Yep.
British on my mother's side. But I wouldn't say that I'm culturally that British. Only the accent. That's about it.
I knew that, right? When we talked we met at the Village Inn in the Bible study, and you could tell your accent's a little different. Yeah, there's a little bit of British in there.
Yeah. Some people,
did your mom speak with a British accent?
Yeah. I mean, she used to a lot more before, but now she's kind of, after living more than 14 years, I think. No, more than that, actually, since before I was born. More than 25 years out of England.
You had a little bit there when you left China and went to England, but not for very long, right? You lived in when you left China. I thought that was maybe I'm wrong on that detail.
But we lived in China for 5 years. And then we went to the UK for a year and a half.
Year and a half, yeah. It wasn't that long.
Yeah, it wasn't that long, not at all. And after that, it's been Colombia and other places.
You've been in Trinidad and Tobago, right, too? Is that right?
Yeah. We went to Trinidad and Tobago from 2003 till 2006. Yeah, we were there pioneering actually a YWAM school, discipleship school in the jungle. And that was an intense 3 years.
It wasn't you, it was, might have been Marv, or somebody else told me that was some really, really scary stuff that happened there.
Yeah, I think it was in the second year of being there. It was far away from the city, and we were known to be Christian, and 1 week someone donated to the YWAM base, a little Toyota Prado. And the idea was to sell it for finances to be able to continue the base construction and stuff, but it didn't get sold. People start driving it around the jungle, around to the city, to church. And so people started to see it. And you know, in Trinidad and Tobago, cars are so expensive. So one day, they came back from church with the van, and we got attacked, raided by 5 guys in masks with shotguns, handguns, machetes. The director of the base got shot in his neck. And went into the left side of his neck, came out his right shoulder. His wife got shot in the hip. And it was just miraculous providence that they were alive, because I mean, it went right through his neck and major arteries.
Yeah, it could have hit the jugular vein.
And didn't hit any of that. And his wife, the bullet was just a fraction away from her spine when they operated. So even the doctors were like, they said if they would have known that it was so close to her spine, they wouldn't have operated, because it could just move the bullet and she would be in a wheelchair for the rest of her life.
So nobody was killed, but they were injured.
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of us were traumatized.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it still affects you at times.
And check out my surroundings. But like for a couple of weeks, I still had to go to school and stuff. And so when I have my homework at home, I'd be studying in the patio, trying to concentrate with an array of axes and machetes and all this stuff behind me, you know, because the tree line's right there. So,
well, you got to know Sebastian and Oscar here a little bit. There's more of their story going to be told. We're going to take a break, and when we come back from this break, we're going to talk about how Christians engage other cultures and wrestle with that a bit. So we'll be back in a moment.
Looking for a place where you are welcomed as you are, a place where your thoughts are welcomed as well as your doubts, a place where you can talk about God without being judged, then I invite you to join in a life-changing experience at Life Tree Cafe. At Life Tree Cafe, you will spend an hour gathering with others to experience a host-led discussion over topics ranging from serious, fun, and quirky. For more information about Life Tree Cafe and for a location near you, visit their website at www.lifetreecafe.com. If you live in the Colorado Springs community, you are more than welcome to join us at Holy Cross for one of 3 Life Tree experiences on Monday or Tuesday over the lunch hour from 11:45 to 12:45. Or on Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. Life Tree Cafe. Come join the conversation.
Welcome back to the second segment of the Praying with the Eyes podcast. And once again, this is a ministry of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs. And love to go to our website at holycrosscs.org. And if you want to read more devotional blogs and other blogs written by people, the Praying with the Eyes website is becoming a neat clearinghouse for people to blog on, Christians to share their faith and their struggles in life with. And we've had recently blogs on struggles with parenting and other issues too. So we hope you'll go to our website, prayingwiththeeyes.com, and read more of the blogs there. And that you would leave comments on today's podcast at the show notes on that blog as well. So, as I mentioned, we're going to start talking about culture now. And, you know, Sebastian and Oscar, what you've been here, which is neat. You've been here for a while. It's not like you've just came for a week. Like, I go down to Honduras for a week or so. I've been to Peru now. Which, by the way, your parents were married, Oscar, weren't they, in Peru?
Yeah, in Peru, in Cusco.
Cusco. In Cusco, yeah. So got close to, did go to Machu Picchu then from there?
Yeah,
very close. Everybody's close. Now we have not, we're so far, Pacalpa is way north, so we're a long ways away from Cusco, and it take quite a bit of extra money to go down there and get to Machu Picchu. Maybe some year.
Maybe.
I'm not young like you guys and free to go wherever I want to go. My body couldn't handle it anyway. So let's talk about cultures. What have you noticed cultural differences between Colombia and the United States?
Well, that's a big question.
It is a big question. It's kind of very general, I understand. So sure. You can pick up anywhere you want.
Okay, I could say some things that strike me at first. You know, it's just everything a lot more organized.
Yeah, a lot more.
Like, I love driving here.
Yeah.
because, I mean, it's so easy.
Because me, people follow the laws.
Because people, exactly, like yes. Stop sign. Actually, I was surprised when I saw people, someone actually stop at a stop sign.
They're not suggestions.
Like, you know, and there was no cars ahead. Like, there was no one watching. We were just walking by and this completely empty road in Orlando.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this guy just stops at the stop sign. And then I was like,
and there's nobody, no cars coming in any other direction.
I was like, why did he just stop? And so it's amazing. I just, you know, I think.
Because you didn't stop and you see those funny lights behind you.
No, we learned that.
Yeah.
We learned that. So yeah, I just started, okay, I'll imitate these people.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
But yeah, it's really good. Like, there's a lot of, I've personally felt like living here for 4 months. And, you know, we're living with host families. So really just seeing that people are very generous here. It's mm-hmm. into the culture. It's built.
You really
into
see
the,
people as being generous.
Yeah, I see it completely. And I know Sebastian does as well. Just mm-hmm. it's built into the culture to be generous.
So how do you see it, Sebastian? How do you see that generosity?
Well, people are very open in certain way. I mean, if you get to know somebody and stay at their house, then you're like part of the family. So you have freedom to go to the house. You have freedom to use their stuff. It's like they open completely their houses. At least the people that we've stayed with. Mm. Yeah. So.
And that's not normal. See, I feel when I go to Honduras. I know I can't say Peru because I've not built a relationship with. We have we for 11 years, 12 years now. I've been going to Honduras. Mm-hmm. And there, the people are so generous with us. And mm-hmm. so, you know, I make the assumption a lot of times that we Americans do, United States citizens, because you're Americans too, U.S. citizens do, is that all Latin cultures are the same. Mm. You know, that the Hondurans are the same as Peruvians, and they're not, okay? Mm. Yeah, but you think with the generosity here, that actually, to be very honest with you, that surprises me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in Colombia, there are some differences. In Colombia, we are generous normally. People are generous. But we see a lot of generosity here for missions, for missionaries,
yeah.
for people that is going to preach the gospel.
That's true. I do see that. Yeah, I know.
That's amazing. Yeah. And that's something we as Latinos and we as a Colombian church, we need to learn that. To support missions.
Okay, so let's talk about cultural. Maybe part of this has been part of the culture in how the gospel came to the countries. You know, for the United States, you go back to our pilgrims. You know, we'd mm-hmm. say, you know, come here because of religious persecution and establishment. But others, you know, I mean, it's we go back to them. But a lot of people came to the United States from different backgrounds, bringing with them their faith and establishing community. So it wasn't necessarily coming here to evangelize the native population of the United States. Mm-hmm. There were some that did. But it seems to me that when you've got the conquistadors and the Catholic Church following in behind and stuff, that part of it deals with conquest, that it's a different... How the gospel came to our two countries is different. So when... That I think that affects.
Oh yeah.
That missionary mind.
The way I see it in Colombia, because my father, he was a missionary since he was about, he was with YWAM since he was 20 something, and he met many people who would come to evangelize Colombia, so North Americans or Europeans and stuff, and one of the, in spite of their good intentions, one of their mistakes was that they kept the Colombians in a mentality of we are the mission field.
Exactly. Yeah.
And
totally
not
agree with that.
A mission sending force. Mm-hmm. So you know, they would be nice people. They would come and start schools and start orphanages and stuff in Colombia. But for example, at the time when my father received this calling for China, mostly, you know, even his American friends or his European friends, they would all say, oh no, God is probably just calling you to pray for China because, you know, you Colombians don't have the money to go.
Mm.
You can't be missionaries.
I can see that happening. Absolutely.
And so that's not just my father, that's what it's in general.
Yes.
So even the churches, it can be a big church, but they still have that mentality of we need to keep on receiving instead of going and giving. So,
See, now the other, let's put the other side of the coin then. For us in the United States, then what the negative side of that for us is that we've only seen the mission field as another country. Mm. So, you know, we have our church bodies, like my church body, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We have our missions department. We send foreign missionaries. And for so long, we thought only of missions as out there. And yet, one of the largest mission fields in the world is the United States of America. Mm. You know, there's so many people who don't know Jesus Christ, who don't know what grace is all about, but mission work, no, that's out there. And sometimes one of the things that happens here at Holy Cross is we have people who say, well, why are you going over there when there's work to be done? And that's really good when they say that, because it reminds us that, yeah, we go to Honduras, we go to Peru, but that's only as good as if we see Colorado Springs and the corner of Constitution and Murray here is where God called us to proclaim. Mm-hmm. And to live and to give. That's interesting. How about what's the differences in family life? Do you see the difference? I don't know how much you've been able to read United States families.
It's tricky because we've been with a family without children.
Yeah.
And most of the families at YWAM we know are not even American. I mean, they're from, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is too hard of a question. It seems to me, what my experience has been, is that United States families are just more detached from each other. Your kids leave home, they go move a long ways away. And staying connected to your family.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. That varies with some people. Some people are very much into their families. But there can be a... for some of us, we look forward to the day when our kids leave home.
Right.
So we can be, it can be me and my wife, I don't know. But anyway, so let's take on the issue with culture. I'm sure there's a lot of different aspects in culture between the United States and Colombia. How it seems that we don't do a very good job of making a distinction, what is cultural and what is a part of our Christian faith. That sometimes we can kind of make them one and the same. And as I was sharing with you before this segment, that one of those for me is just that idea that God helps those who help themselves. Mm. People say, well, that's in the Bible. Well, it's nowhere to be found in the Bible. You can't find that in the Bible. But it's part of our American culture. And as a fabric of part of our American culture, now it has taken on this religious status of being almost scriptural. How do we go about defining when we're in a different culture what is just a cultural way of doing things and what's biblical? I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, personally, I think it's... Unless if we've grown up in a place, you know, as Christians, I think it's we need someone to help us like click and make that distinction. Like, okay, let me just look at my culture against the light of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's easy to do it when we go to other countries and we say, well, this thing, you know, because their culture is different to ours. Mm-hmm. And so we say, oh, no, this is, you know, I mean, why should they oppress women? I mean, the Bible talks about, you know, it raises women, you know,
right,
empowers
right,
her. So
right.
Why should they, you know, this is, I know it's culture, but it's wrong. But many times in our culture, we don't realize it because we haven't actually taken our culture and objectively looked at it.
And the other thing is I can go to a scripture and say, and misinterpret the scripture. For example, Paul's words in Ephesians, wives submit to your husbands, which has nothing to do about servitude and being a slave to the husband.
Yeah, not at all.
But I can take that into my culture and say, but it is, it's biblical.
Mm-hmm.
My culture.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. I think it's a lot easier from the outside looking into a different culture.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have very good way of being objective about our own culture.
I've been in countries where it's quite sad because I've been in circles of Christians and even some who are missionaries, and they still have old resentments between people from the north and from the south in the same country.
Right.
And they resent these people because either, you know, they've been hundreds of years of fighting or something, but they, you know, they don't want nothing to do. And when they start talking about that group of people, it's like, are you even a Christian? You know?
Right.
And it's like, oh, it's just, you know, it's part of our culture and that's it, you know? So it is.
Yeah, and I think there are some things that are in the, I would say, the foundations of the culture that we just don't think about it. I remember somebody came from Spain to Colombia, you know, the history with the colony and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And I was thinking these days, normally we don't like the accent Spanish accent.
Not at all.
If we are watching a movie,
as you say with your English accent,
if we're watching a movie, we would say no. Let's find a Latino accent. And then I was thinking, why? Why is that? Is that something maybe in the foundation of our culture that we have some resentment against Spain? Yeah. Why is that happening? So as Oscar is saying, if you start to think a little bit on your culture, why you like things, why you don't like certain things, and at the light of the Bible, then you may find some things that are not so good of your culture.
Well, I'll tell you, for the United States, for me, one of the things that I think is so ingrained in us because of capitalism, and I'm not against capitalism at all, but is greed. And I think we're very blind to issues of greed in our culture. And others coming from outside of our culture look at us and say, what are you doing that for? You know, why do you have to have that so much stuff? You know, and we say, well, it's just, you know, God has. We even put it into biblical terms. Well, God has blessed us. Well, maybe He has, but on the other hand, you know, being greedy is not. It's kind of frowned on the number of places in Scripture.
Yeah,
but an outside culture can point that out to us a lot easier than we can see it ourselves because it's just so much a part of the fabric of who we are. So how do we handle then? So we know there's cultural differences. So I come to Colombia, and Cartagena, which itself is its own culture, where you guys live, and how do I engage the culture of Cartagena, coming from Colorado Springs, Colorado, in meaning for not just engage it as a person, but with the message of God's love in Jesus. You guys have to do this. I mean, and I'm you know.
Well, you've lived more in Cartagena than I have, so.
Yeah, I would say first of all, it's very necessary to get to know the culture, like the main things of the culture, and something we need to do is to confront those things. The thing is, in Colombia and in Cartagena, we're not that used to sit down and speak about what's wrong, and so that's something it's useful to know about the culture. Like, we're not very direct. If I had a problem with somebody, I would not confront it, according to my culture, to the Colombian culture.
Yeah.
You deal with it. How would you deal with it then?
You just don't do it.
Just don't do it, and then just wait until your anger boils up.
Yeah.
Then explode.
Yeah, and then
really.
Yeah.
I mean, it happened in the United States too. Don't think it doesn't happen here.
So those are little things that it's good to know about the culture, and then you need to find a way to come and confront.
Okay. You guys shared with something else that I found really interesting about that part of Colombia,
right?
And the Caribbean, where the Caribbean coast was slave trade.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that seems to really impact the culture of Cartagena and the communities around there.
Yeah. Highly. Yeah. There are some statistics. One of our leaders in YWAM there has been doing a research on Cartagena, and there are some very interesting facts. And it's Cartagena was one of the main ports. I'm not sure, maybe it was the main port of slavery to South America.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the slaves came through Cartagena to Peru, to Venezuela, to Ecuador, or to other places in Colombia. Nowadays, the population of Cartagena, 70% of them are Afro-descendants,
Afro-descendants.
And if you come to see the levels of poverty in the city are very similar, are almost 70%. Of poverty in the city. So you can see there's a lot of cicatrices.
No, scars.
Scars in the people because of those things.
Even though they weren't a part of it, but it's become so much a part of the genetic makeup
yeah,
the people.
Yeah, yeah. There are many things in the spiritual environment that influence there. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of poverty mindset. So you think you can make a better life for you, for your children. A lot of corruption also in the government.
Oh, so much.
So in the city government?
In the city government.
There's so much corruption there.
And then it's in the government, so the people feel, okay, they're stealing my money. They're breaking my rights. I need to get something. So if a person gets an opportunity to do a corruption action or something, they will do it normally.
So I could not, if I were coming from Colorado Springs, where, you know, our government's not perfect and there's some real struggles with it, but I could not come there expecting that there's a problem, I can go to a government official it's going to be dealt with.
Like, I've been we've been all surprised here because of how after the winter, all the roads were cracked. And how fast they repaved everything.
You thought that was fast?
That was lightning speed, brother. Man. That was lightning speed. Where we live, we've had a 50-meter piece of road, which isn't a main road. It's like one of these roads inside a neighborhood somewhere, you know? And it has been under construction. When I went to Cartagena in December for a wedding, it was under construction. I went back in February to help lead a school, still under construction. When we came here in May, still under construction. Yeah. Then it's like, it's no more than 50, 60 meters long.
Do you think it will be done when we get back?
I hope it is done until we get back, man.
When we come back in the next segment, we're going to go even a little further. So we've talked about cultures. In this next segment, we're going to talk about strategies that we can use to bridge cultural gaps so that we can faithfully and lovingly proclaim that road to the Father through Jesus Christ. We'll be back in a moment.
At Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, we encourage those who hunger to be nourished by God. We believe that true nourishment for our lives is met in our Creator and Redeemer God. At Holy Cross, we proclaim the message that our God desires intimacy with us through His Son, Jesus Christ, and that worship is an experience of this intimacy. To find out more about worship styles and times, visit our website at www.holycrosscs.org. And if you don't live in the Colorado Springs community or you are part of a different Christian community, we encourage you to join with God's people as He nourishes His relationship with you.
Now, once again, I'm having too much fun. And during that break, Oscar and Sebastian and I were talking about just people's stories, and they fascinate me. And so I'm losing track of time here, and hopefully that you're engaged with us throughout this conversation too. Again, this Praying with the Eyes is a ministry of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado. If you want to email me on any questions you might have or statements or things, you can email me at questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. That's questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. I'd love to hear from you. So we talked about cultural differences a bit in the last segment. We're going to take on now, what are some strategies to sharing Christ in different cultures? And, you know, Sebastian, you started one. Let's take a little further. The strategy of getting to know the culture.
Yeah.
It seems to be, how far do you go with that? How much do we need to really understand about a culture before we can say, to speak the gospel?
Yeah, well, to get to know a whole culture, I would say it's a long time to do that. But at least, you know, the basic things, like the rules of relations and the way they treat the leaders, for example, the way the government is working, the way the country is working, or the city or the town, wherever you are, those basic things are useful, because then you know how to approach the people, how to speak to them. For example, in Cartagena, in Colombia, you normally don't come and just confront the things and sit down and let's solve this problem. The people may say what makes them angry, but they wouldn't...
They're not necessarily looking for anything to be solved.
For a solution, we wouldn't in our culture. So if you know that, you know that you will be careful if you want to confront something of them.
So you really. So if I were to say to you, Sebastian, that I think that your attitude toward women, we brought that up earlier, your attitude toward women is not biblical. You know, if I said it just that way, the message wouldn't get through.
Well, if my culture would be like that, like oppressing women, then it's harder because it's something I believe is good. If it's something that is obvious for the culture that is not that good, then it's easier to receive the message, I would say.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I think in human experience, none of us really want to be confronted about things, but you're saying it's just so difficult to do that in Colombia. Mm-hmm. Is that a part of a lot of different cultures, Latino cultures, that confrontation is difficult?
I guess it has to be with a lot of tact. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of tact at the time of doing it.
Yeah.
So like sometimes we have to do it in YWAM. Yeah. You know, with different people, and someone has some behavior that is not really good. So it's like, hey, would you like to talk? Just go have a coffee and kind of just explain. You know, not just say it's wrong. Just say, you know, why, and that's not really what what Jesus has showed us to do. Mm-hmm. You know.
Well, I think if we have some friends here who are heading off to North Africa. We leave it very general. Have to.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
And there's nothing wrong for the women within that family to wear the garb that women would wear, because it would be offensive to people. I know there could be religious reasons for them doing that. You don't adopt to, but if I'm going to put a stumbling block to somebody because of how I'm dressing, it's just dress. Mm. You know, Paul talks about eating meat and not eating meat in Scripture. Mm-hmm. To me, it fits in that kind of category. But I agree with you, because I think this is a huge one. I don't think this is one we can skip over very quickly, because I don't think it's just a United States issue. But all of us, when we come out of our culture, we're just kind of oblivious to the fact that the way we do things are not done in other cultures the same way. Mm-hmm. And so you were talking about, I think I understood, maybe my brain went this way, but I could say something in a certain way that offends you without even knowing I'm doing it in that culture, because you don't do this in our culture. Mm-hmm. You don't talk that way. You don't use those words or whatever. I think you got to be real careful. I think you got to really sit back and get to know the culture first.
Mm-hmm.
It's dangerous.
Yeah.
Because once you, don't you feel like, I feel like once you cross that line, you offended somebody in their cultural values that maybe have nothing to do with a biblical value.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to come back from that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really. Really. Like, you can really offend someone deeply. In China, even if you're eating a meal with someone, a fish, and you flip the fish the wrong way.
Really?
They will walk out on you. Because it could mean you're wishing them ill or disgrace.
Mm.
So, and you say, well, I didn't know. Well, you should take the time to know our culture.
Some culture shaking with the left hand is an insult.
Yeah. In India?
India.
You never shake with the left hand.
Yeah.
That's all. That's some funny stories about that. But anyway.
No, we don't need to go into why, because I know why too. Go on the internet if you want to find out why you don't shake in India with the left hand. It'll make absolute sense to you when you find out. You know, it's just one of those things you got to know about the culture and to deal with. Oscar, we didn't talk about this. I want to spend a little bit of time with you about Tibet. You spent some time in Tibet. First of all, tell me, what is that culture like?
Well, Tibet, from the outside, it's ruled by China, but culturally, it's quite beautiful. I mean, without touching the spiritual side, the people are they're all about relationships and about honoring their relationships. So, as you meet someone and you kind of let them know that you kind of speak their language, and they'll love you. They'll take you to their house. They'll have you for dinner, meet the whole family kind of thing. So they're very, very, very nice people.
And they stay engaged with, I understand. I have some podcasts I listen to on photography, because that's our photography hotspot. Every photographer wants to either go to Iceland or they want to go to Tibet.
Yeah.
You know, everybody wants to go. Uh-huh. that they build these relationships. And then, I mean, these people will travel from wherever they live to weddings back in Tibet because they're so close to the people they developed a relationship
with. Oh, yeah. And they're tough. I mean, they'll do those treks through the Himalayas by foot, you know. Amazing. And most of them, I've met many who live in India now who they've escaped from China. And they've walked through the Himalayas for 3-4 weeks, a month and a half, you know, just on foot.
To get away from the Chinese.
Yeah. I mean, they used to be a race of warriors, the Tibetans. So they're very strong. They're very strong in their mindset. They're very strong in their convictions. They're very strong in their physically tough as well.
So if I'm coming to Tibet, as you did, because you went there and you engaged the Buddhist monks.
Yeah.
Were there, and you said there was wonderful conversations with them that you had with them. What? How do I go about? How would I go about it? How did you go about engaging them in that culture? Because your culture is different.
Well, the thing is, obviously, it's not something that you will dive into at the beginning because, I mean, one, they're completely Buddhist, and second, in some places, in some countries where the Tibetans live, it's illegal to talk about Jesus openly, you know.
So, I didn't realize that.
Oh yeah, in some places like in China, other places, it's just illegal to talk about Jesus.
Oh yeah, you can talk about bringing back the Chinese and ruling that area, correct?
Yeah, in China, for example, and so you need to be careful because if you end up talking about Jesus and then someone could overhear and then they could just kind of trying to get points with the government by giving you up, you know, these guys come and talk about Jesus, so. So I think one of the main ways that we actually do it is first just through relationships. Mm-hmm.
You know, how did you build a relationship with those monks?
Oh, it's so easy. they love playing ping pong. Oh. They love going out to trek, to talk, playing football. I'm in Colombia. I'm rubbish at football, but over there,
he's talking about soccer. For those of you who don't understand, this is not American football.
football with a foot.
Yeah, has kicked every whatever. I'm going to the Bronco game tonight, so I'm expecting a great football game. Anyway, sorry, sidetrack.
Anyway, so there's so many open doors to develop relationships, and once you know, and even just over food, their culture around food as well. So just once you develop that friendship. They, since they're so in touch with the religious side of things as well, sometimes, you know, most of the times I don't have to bring up the conversation about Jesus. Usually it'll be them, you know, and they'll start talking about their
religion. Once you get permission from them.
Yeah.
So how do they know you tell them who you are? And so, I mean, you're honest like that.
Yeah.
And so, but you don't, when you introduce yourself, do you mention something about being a Christian?
I can. It won't be at the beginning, though. It will be something like, usually they see what you do. And that's one of the ways my father used to witness a lot in China, is they used to see that he treated his wife, my mom, and me with love. And he cared for us. And he wouldn't go out every weekend to get drunk with his friends. And instead, he would stay home and he would bless us. You know, and he treated us with such kindness, with such love. He talked to us in a sweet tone. And they were like, so why do you do that? You know, why? And he'll be like, well, I've got Jesus. You know, if you want to know more, come around for dinner.
And some would.
Yeah, totally. And once the ball gets rolling, because they're so in touch with this religious and spiritual side, they will start asking all the questions.
Yeah, you were mentioning to me about with Tibetan Buddhist monks. It's not, you know, a lot of Buddhists it's humanist Buddhism. It's not religious Buddhism in the United States. Some of the Buddhist temples here.
Oh, yeah.
It's sort of religious, but that's not the case in Tibet. It's very religious.
Oh, yeah. It's very.
And you had another word for it. The dark.
It's very dark because the Tibetan Buddhism is mixed with an ancient religion called Bon.
That was what I was saying.
So, like, demonic and just a lot of awful imagery, things that I didn't want to take pictures of.
And you didn't.
And I didn't. Of some of the images that they have in the temples. I just felt from the Lord, don't take pictures of these things because they're not going to edify anybody. You know, so it's just horrible.
Yeah, do you have them and it's just a reminder or something that's you don't need to be reminded of.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally. A little presence. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, talking with some of the monks in like North India, Tibetans, they once I talked about you know, Jesus dying for our sins and he taking our sins away and stuff. And they completely like, oh, I can't understand this. Like in our religion, we have to take our own sins away through the reincarnation and all their personal efforts. So they really, it just asked me so many questions about that because they wanted to understand.
And they wrestle with it, and you plant the seed, and you just, and you, of course, how long did you stay in Tibet?
I was a child until for 5 years.
Okay, that's you. That's a part of China you were in was Tibet. Okay, but you've been back since then.
Yeah, I've been back on a couple of trips.
And how long were those trips? How long in those trips did you?
Two months.
2 months. That's a lot. That's a long time.
Yeah, it's good. And it's great. I mean, because they take a long time to become Christians. Because they question everything.
Yeah.
But it makes sense because once they say yes to Jesus, it's not like in our side of the world where, okay, well, I'll go to church and I'll have a nice family on the weekend.
Well, we always equate being Christian to going to church. And I mean, that's another podcast. Because being Christian is a lot more than...
Oh, yeah. And they know that. They know that if they become Christians, probably their family will disown them. And some have even tried to be assassinated by their own family for changing the family traditions, between commas, dishonoring the family, you know. And they'll be chased by the government. They'll lose their inheritance, whatever. They can't go back home. So the decision to say yes to Jesus is a whole lot heavier for them than it is for someone on this side of the world.
Well, we're going to take a break again, and after this break, we're going to talk about the blog I wrote, where the title for this this podcast comes from, Longing for the Yellow Brick Road. This is a great conversation, and we'll be back. Hope you stay with us.
Looking for a place where you are welcomed as you are, a place where your thoughts are welcomed as well as your doubts, a place where you can talk about God without being judged, then I invite you to join in a life-changing experience at Life Tree Cafe. At Life Tree Cafe, you will spend an hour gathering with others to experience a host-led discussion over topics ranging from serious, fun, and quirky. For more information about Life Tree Cafe and for a location near you, visit their website at www.lifetreecafe.com. If you live in the Colorado Springs community, you are more than welcome to join us at Holy Cross for one of three Life Tree experiences on Monday or Tuesday over the lunch hour from 11:45 to 12:45. Or on Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. Life Tree Cafe. Come join the conversation.
Oscar is just giving us a bad timing here because we have a clock in the wall. We're in one of our Sunday school rooms here at Holy Cross recording this. And he's looking at the clock on the wall and it's saying 9:30. But Oscar, can I point to that clock for a second? I know you guys can't see us. Do you see that? You got a big hand, a little hand, right? And you got that little tiny skinny hand.
It's not moving.
Well, it's been 9:30 since we got in here. Yeah.
Time just isn't going by.
We thought it was going by quickly, and then this my recorder here is lying to us about how fast it's going.
Been here for 24 hours.
Yeah. So the picture that I took for this blog is of a trail out at the paint mines in Calhoun, Colorado, on the Eastern Plains. Haven't been there this summer, which is really unusual for me. I usually make 1 to 2 trips out to the paint mines to be by myself in taking pictures, to spend some time with the Lord too. And I, as like many times, like I've told you before, when I go and do a photo shoot like that, I'll pray and ask God to surprise me. And I've been surprised many times out there. And this one isn't actually of the mines itself. You can find this picture in the show notes and a link to this blog also in the show notes if you'd like to read it. But it's a part of the prairie, the trail that a number of miles of trail that just simply wander around the prairie. No trees, no nothing, just grassland and the birds and rabbits and hopefully no rattlesnakes. Haven't run into one yet out there. One of these days, I know it's going to happen. But anyway, it reminded me as I watched it, this trail disappear into the distance of the movie The Wizard of Oz and the Yellow Brick Road, and how we look for that yellow brick road for saving us in life, that's going to rescue us from our situation. For Dorothy in the movie, it was to rescue her from the land of Oz and send her back home. to her grandparents, and I believe that most every single human creature knows there's something wrong in the world, in their life, and they're looking some way for redemption. The real powerful movies that I watch, whether I agree with the movie or not, has a story about redemption in it somehow. And what we understand is that redemption is in the person, one person, in Jesus Christ. And so I picked the Bible passage I used for this blog is from Psalm 42, verse 5. Why are you discouraged, my soul? Why are you so restless? Put your hope in God, because I will still praise him. He is my Savior and my God. So across cultures and different things, what kind of yellow brick roads have you seen people, other than Jesus, try to follow to find redemption in their lives? Maybe some of your friends, maybe it's people that don't know Christ and what they're doing to try to deal with the brokenness and pain and sin of their lives.
I would say one of the most common is through actions, through being a good person and believing that through my good actions, I can redeem myself. And I see that a lot in my country. Even I tried that before getting to Jesus. Trying to be good, trying to follow the rules, to be a good guy. And I know a couple of people like that.
So okay, for you, Sebastian, before you come to faith in Jesus, why did you think that was what was going to redeem your life?
Well, because you know that you're responsible for your wrongdoings, for your mistakes. So you think you can fix everything with God just by being good. So you think, okay, I did this. This was not good. This is not pleasing God. Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to balance it.
You're going to balance it out.
Yeah, and so...
And that's
it didn't work. Why did you realize it didn't... How did you realize it wasn't working?
Well, you know that you don't have the peace of redemption by doing that. In Colombia, we have, now that Oscar was telling about balancing, we have a saying, which is, how would you translate that? Like, que peca y reza empata. The one who sins and prays.
And makes, like, ties.
Yeah.
You know? Okay.
Yeah.
Who sins and prays, ties or equalizes.
Okay.
So
okay.
It's part of our culture, but you come to realize you don't have peace. You don't have a good relationship with God just by going to sin and then praying or just trying to do something good to fix it. You need Jesus.
I appreciate what you said, though, Sebastian. You said peace. You know, I think that is what you're looking for. Through redemption, through the story of redemption, we're looking for peace because we don't have peace inside of ourselves. And tonight, I'm going to a Bronco game. Yeah, it's a preseason game, and know the big names are going to play. And I'm sure for football, your football, people try to find in that event and going to that event or playing that sport some kind of redemption too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that this is going to fill them up. Yeah. And I mean, in America, American football, it's baseball, it's basketball, whatever, that becomes our God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I mean, it's one of many.
Mm. Yeah, personal achievements.
Personal achievements. Yeah. What I can do.
I think that in mostly in Asia, that road that you're talking about is, I think, it's greatly reincarnation. You know, like what you were saying about doing good things, good deeds.
But it's always in the context of reincarnation, is what you're saying. So I do the good things, so that when I come back, I will have I'll be in the next class.
And the more, I guess, the better I get, and the better lives I have, there's going to be at one point where I just vanish into the nirvana.
Nirvana, you know, yeah.
The one
right.
with everything. So,
right.
like, right. I cease to live this miserable existence.
So, really, it doesn't matter what culture we come from or what maybe other religious backgrounds too, outside of being in Christ, it's all about what I do. It's what I do. Even among an atheist, and they're trying to be a good person, and they are good people. You know, the reality is, I bet a lot of those people, a lot of the Tibetans you got to meet, are really good people.
They're very nice people.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't mean they have the way of salvation. because we always fall short. Mm. The example I've done with kids before, it's been quite a while since I've done this, is we'll do a standing long jump, and I'll have a goal further out there than they can reach. And there's no way anybody can jump that far. And so we'll start here, and we'll jump. They'll jump, and where they land, I'll put their name on a piece of tape on the floor. And so you have these kids do this. And I'll go first, so I'll get out there as far as I can go. So I've got kids that are just trying to beat me. They'll never reach the goal. They're mm-hmm. just trying to beat me. And then some people feel so bad about themselves, and they can do this. They can just take a step in. They didn't have to jump, but they had to at least take a step into that area.
Right.
And so I explained to the kids, I'm saying, none of us met the goal. We all fell short of that goal. And I don't care if you took one step in or you got within 2 inches of the goal, you missed it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way we are in life. We try to make it with our good works to get right with God. I don't care if you're the best person in the world, the most virtuous, the most giving, the most loving, the most kind, it stops short of perfection.
Mm-hmm.
And we all need Christ. Well, I want to thank Sebastian and Oscar for being with me. Guys, I know there's a possibility you might get back to the United States sometime.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully these classes you've been teaching over at YWAM, you'll continue with and get more students next year.
Yeah.
And you guys come back, and you do, please, we'll do another podcast. And have fun with it. Again, Praying with the Eyes is a ministry of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado. You can find out more about us at our website at holycrosscs.org. You can also go to the Praying with the Eyes website, and there's a lot of stuff there at prayingwiththeeyes.com. And we would love to have you come there and read the blogs. I write a daily devotional blog that's posted every single day up there, something new, at least one blog new every day, and other bloggers that are posting on there as well. At Holy Cross, we worship at 8 o'clock, 9:30, and 11 on Sunday mornings. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and do not have a church home, we would invite you to come here and worship with us. If you do have a church home here or elsewhere, we really encourage you to be active with the body of Christ there and engaging in relationships with the people in your church. We have a ministry here at Holy Cross, which you've heard in the promos in between these segments, called Life Tree Cafe. We offer a variety of them now, since we're picked up in the fall. We have 4 different Life Tree Cafes that you can now take part in. 2 of them are on over the noon hour on Mondays and Tuesdays from 11:45 to 12:45. We have now one picked up the other one again on Wednesday nights, and that starts, I believe, at 6 o'clock. And then one on Saturday nights that I also believe starts at 6 o'clock. I'll make sure in the next podcast to get that correct. So we want people to engage in Life Tree Cafes where you can come. Your doubts are welcome. Your thoughts are welcome. And we want you to share in what's going on. We offer here at Holy Cross, too, if you come on Sunday mornings, we have Bible classes for children, youth, and adults. And to get into that, we're dig deeper into what God has for us in this life. Thank you for being with us, and I look forward to being with me on my next podcast.
Thanks for joining us today on this edition of the Praying with the Eyes podcast. These podcasts are produced by Laird Production, which you can find online at www.lairdproduction.com. For thoughts and questions that you might have, please email Doug at prayingwiththeeyes@gmail.com. Be sure to subscribe to the Praying with the Eyes podcast on iTunes as well as post a review. We invite you to tell a friend about today's podcast by posting a link on your social media accounts. We look forward to being with you in our next episode.